In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Thus far our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear saints of God, when Jesus happened upon a man born blind, there was only one of two possibilities in the minds of the disciples. Either this man is blind because he sinned, or this man is blind because his parents sinned. Those are the only two possibilities that his disciples could think of. Jesus' answer reveals that they're not right about that, but they are right about something. Jesus' answer is not, "It wasn't because of sin at all." In other words, they were at least right about the fact that this man's blindness is a problem because of sin. This much is true. The error in their thinking was that it was a result of a specific sin, that he sinned and now suffers blindness, or his parents sinned and now he suffers blindness. In Christian theology, we make a very important distinction when we're talking about sin. There's original sin and there is actual sin. Actual sin is transgression, the thing you do that is a sin. It's the thought or the action that is against God or against your neighbor. It's the violation of one of the Ten Commandments. Original sin is the sin that you start out with in this world. It's the sin that you've inherited from Adam. It's what prevents you from believing in God by default and what compels you toward actual sin. So Jesus' disciples were right about one thing. It was because of sin that this man is born blind. In other words, they knew it wasn't right that this man was blind. It wasn't God's first intention that we suffer blindness or ailments. But it wasn't because of actual sin as they thought. The reason blindness, birth defects, diseases, disasters, and even death exists in this world is because sin exists in this world. If there was no sin, then there would be no blindness, disease, disaster, or death. But what does Jesus say to his disciples? It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, usually, this verse is taken to mean that this man was born blind so that everyone would see God's healing power. That had this man not been born blind, then people wouldn't get to see how powerful Jesus is to heal blindness. Now, there's truth in that, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. First of all, we should say that suffering blindness defect does not come from God in the sense that he is the author of these things. That suffering exists, as we have already established, because of sin. And God is not the author of sin. However, we must also recognize that nothing happens outside of the permissive will of God. And in that sense, God allows these things to happen, so it is right to say that these things came from God. Because, as we'll see, God has a way of taking things of suffering and wickedness of the world and using them in a way to accomplish what he deems to be good. That's why understanding this passage, that the works of God would be displayed in him, to be merely talking about the healing of Jesus is much too shallow. This is a verse that teaches us how to understand John 9. It comes from John 6:29, in which Jesus says this. This is the work of God, that you believe him whom he has sent. That's the work of God. That we would believe in Jesus. That we would confess him as our Savior. That we would rest securely in his promises. That we would evermore confess our sins and be forgiven by him. That is the work of God. That's what happens to the blind man. The great miracle of John chapter 9 is not that a blind man can now see, but it's that a man who is spiritually blind receives the gift of faith. That's not just a miracle for the blind man, that's a miracle for you too. This understanding of the work of God, the work that God is to have you believe, is the key of understanding verse 4. Verse 4 says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because night is coming when no one can work. Jesus says to his disciples that there's work to be done while it's light. And that work is the work to preach the gospel. To bring this good news of Jesus to a world darkened by sin. That the blind to sin would believe in Jesus and see the light. Because Jesus is the light of the world. But night is coming. The time is coming when the Lord's day of grace will be ended, and it will be too late for the unbelieving world, and they will be lost and condemned forever. In the recent events, I've heard it come up more than once, the question, is this the end? And the answer is, yes, this is the end, as it has been for almost 2,000 years. Now, that's not a cop-out answer. It is actually making a point that there are times in which everything in life is going well, that everything is on the up and up. And it's during these times that we begin to assume that we're in control of our lives, but how quickly things can change. How quickly our retirement funds are cut in half. How quickly our economy can be headed for collapse. How quickly our very own health and our very lives are uncertain. And if it isn't coronavirus, it's always something. Our lives are fleeting here today and gone tomorrow. But if nothing else, these events remind us that we're not the ones in control, that we are but small beings in a big universe, and we are not worthy for the things that we have, nor have we earned them. So who sinned that a virus would shut down the entire world? Well, these things happen that the works of God may be displayed in you. That the events around us remind us of our original sin. That if we did not live in a world of sin, we would not have viruses to even worry about. But events like this should put us back in our context as sinners who live before a righteous God. They should make us people of repentance. Recognizing that we are people born into sin and we need Jesus and his mercy that we might live. God has a way of taking things of fallen creation, suffering, pain, sin, and death, and using them for his own purposes to accomplish good. Just ask the blind man. He received sight that day. But the miracle wasn't simply that he had sight restored to him as it should have been in the first place. It was his blindness that occasioned him to meet Jesus. And having met Jesus, he died his death one day as a believer. That you and I one day will meet that blind man in heaven, and he will tell us how it was an honor to be cast out of the synagogue. how it was an honor to be the outcast of society, because in so doing, he was suffering for his Lord. God has a way of using man's sin and man's suffering for his own purpose, for his own good. Just ask Barabbas, that man who was arrested and awaiting crucifixion for murder and insurrection against the Roman government. He was waiting to be crucified that same Friday, but his cross was given to Jesus because the crowds cried out to Pilate, "Give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus." God has a way of using man's sin and suffering for his own purpose to accomplish good. Just ask the thief on the cross, who with only hours left to live, he encounters Jesus as a fellow executee, himself for stealing, but this man has done nothing wrong. The occasion of his sin put him feet away from the Savior of the world in his dying moments. There is no better place to die than feet away from Jesus, who tells you, "Surely today you'll be with me in paradise." God has a way of using man's sin and suffering for his own purpose to accomplish good. Just ask yourself. There can be no greater evil conceived than the day they took the author of life, who lived only in service to those whom he created, free from all sin. They took him and flogged him and nailed him to a cross until he breathed his last breath. That day, they killed their God. That day, man's wickedness, man's sin, man's corruption destroyed their God. And it was that day all of your sins were forgiven. That was the day that blood was spilled on your original sin and your actual sin. Atonement has been accomplished. It is finished. And in the resurrection of Christ, we see that it is. Dear saints, if God repurposes the wickedness of man's sin to nail him on the cross to the salvation of mankind, then God's goodness does not fail us today. Whether it's sickness, economic collapse, difficulties in marriage, the suffering of your children, or even your very own death, God is working all things for your good. That is, in fact, his promise. And if there's anyone to commend our entire lives to, it is the one who gave up his life to save us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.